Welcome to the Empire Builders Podcast, teaching business owners the not-so-secret techniques that took famous businesses from mom-and-pop to major brands. Stephen Semple is a marketing consultant, story collector, and storyteller. I'm Stephen's sidekick and business partner, Dave Young. Before we get into today's episode, a word from our sponsor, which is, well, it's us. But we're highlighting ads we've written and produced for our clients. So here's one of those.
No more waiting. I think it goes without saying, but having to wait for something is frustrating and causes anxiety.
Tell me about it.
Oh, hello, Archie.
I got this really cool idea for a new work boot for hands.
That sounds interesting.
But my favorite designer is on vacation for a month.
I get it, Archie. That's why I put a book now button on my website. As soon as you are ready to address that pain in your foot, all you got to do is click it and book the best time for you to come in and get it fixed.
Dr. Milky, that's amazing.
Thanks, Archie. I hate waiting for anything, even just booking an appointment.
Is there a button I can click to get my designer back from vacation?
Oh, Archie. I'm Dr. Milky.
Milwaukee's foot doctor.
To book an appointment, even in the middle of the night, come see me at walkiefeet.com. Spell it however you'd like.
Walkiefeet, walkiefeet.
Welcome to Empire Builders Podcast. Dave Young here along with Stephen Semple. And all Stephen told me for this episode is that he's excited about doing it because it's got a Canadian tie-in, but he didn't whisper the name of the company or anything into my ear as we counted down. Yeah,
it's like, I forgot to.
He just stood there looking at me. And
I'll tell you now, Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids. Oh, gosh. Are they the origin of all the little sour candies that are out now?
You know, it's always hard to say if they're the exact origin, but they were certainly one of the first ones that went big.
Okay,
sure.
So I don't like the candy was after most of my candy eating days.
Okay.
So let's dive in.
So you're trying to tell me you eat no candy now? None?
Well, that's what the doctor says should be happening. But I mean, as a child, I'm just too old to have devoured a lot of Sour Patch Kids, I think. Tell me when this started.
Yeah, so the Sour Patch Kids started basically in the early
1970s. Oh, well, so I am.
It's kind of when they came out. Was a Canadian company. But the other thing is it didn't, first of all, start as Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, okay.
It was actually first called Mars Men, and in 1985, they renamed it
Then I was, I was adulting by then. So where did this start?
Right.
Mars Men?
Mars Men.
Yeah, that's not a good name.
No. So today, it's part of a big conglomerate. It's part of Mondelez Group, and it's estimated that there's about $248 million worth of Sour Patch Kids sold every year. So that's a lot of little kids. And it was started by a little Canadian company. There was a guy by the name of Frank Garatul who was working at Jared International. And he was admiring the American candy revolution. And he was the sales and marketing manager for Jared. And what Jared did was they were an importer of food that foreign transplants would like. So they would go out and they would look at, they would find some sort of, food that people from India would like and bring it in, or from Poland and they would bring it in. So basically they really specialized in this whole idea of finding foods that foreign transplants.
Interesting. I like that idea.
Yeah. And he wanted to do a twist on gummy candy. So in 1920, Hans Riegel in Germany made the first gummy, and that was like a gummy bear. And they were really popular in Europe, but they weren't super popular here. And he didn't want to do a traditional sweet candy. And Halloween was really growing candy, and candy could now be found in different places and all of this other stuff going on. And he also started to notice that there was an emergence of a different type of candy, like the Atomic Fireball came out. And sour lemon heads came out. And so he was noticing that there was this desire for stuff that was not just sweet. And they were really the first to do this whole idea of hot and, sour and sweet. right? So they combined two acids. So it would be super sour, and that super sour would drop off and then would come back as being sweet.
Okay. The sour, yeah.
They made it really super sour, was the whole idea.
The back of my jaws are tensing up as we talk about this.
Right, yeah. And so they create that candy and they launch it as Marsmen.
Okay. Now, is it just vitamin C? Is it just ascorbic acid? Or what is the... Okay.
You know, I never looked into what it is. If I remember correct, and I think it's a couple of acids. Okay. One of the acids is citric acid, and I think there's another acid.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Ascorbic acid, might be aspirin or something. But yeah, citric acid.
Yeah.
Just vitamin C. Yeah.
But there was also a second tartaric acid or something like it, because it was a combination of two acids, one being citric acid. And I can't remember.
It's candy technology. We wouldn't understand anyway. Yeah.
There it is. And so they launched it as Marsmen, and it had a little bit of success. But in 1985, they notice a fad, and there's a fad called Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? And then that was followed. Remember, then there was the cards that were made. The garbage pail kids.
So we're following this trend.
Garbage pail kids. So he's noticing this trend and so decides, you know what? Let's call it Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah.
And it's a hit right away.
Sure.
They changed the name. They changed the packaging. It was the most popular candy of 1985.
Did the Cabbage Patch people sue them for infringing on Patch and Kids?
I didn't see any history on that. And if you think about it,
I mean,
it's a great
example of just riding the coattails of a popular trend. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, and it's still popular. It's a top 10 candy today. Still really super, really super popular. But what I like is again, they were looking out there. Mm-hmm. They saw gummies. Gummies weren't super popular here. They noticed this whole idea of hot and sour candies coming along with the, you know, Atomic Fireball and Sour Lemon Heads, but decided to do something different. That combining of making it super sour, dropping back and coming back sweet.
Yeah.
Doing all of those things and creating the kind of this new candy. And then recognizing this trend that they could tap into that actually really kicked off its success.
Very cool.
You know, because again, it's that whole idea that sometimes if something is kind of working and working a little bit, sometimes a repackage, a renaming, said ride the coattails of this other trend can completely turn things around. It went to Allen Candies for a little while, and as I said, it's now part of the Mondelez big corporate group.
And they make all kinds of other sour gummy, the genre of sugary sour gummy candies, or is it just a highly competitive field now?
I think it's just a highly competitive field, and when they went to do the manufacturing, they actually did a deal where they formed a company called Allen Candy, which was Cadbury and Jarrett together. And they did that in Hamilton. And then it's an 85 rebranded Sour Patch Kids. And I think it was in the late 90s that Mondelez came along and bought them out.
Okay. I have an embarrassing story about, it wasn't actually Sour Patch Kids, but it was sour. It was those gummy worms that were sour with the coating on them.
Remember
those? I mean, they're still around too.
Stay tuned. We're going to wrap up this story and tell you how to apply this lesson to your business right after this.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
Great.
Great?
Yeah, I just had an amazing 90 minutes.
You did?
With the host of the Empire Builders podcast.
Really?
You've heard the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I finally took him up on the starter session.
So you drank the Kool-Aid.
Guzzled it.
How did it taste?
Well, he answered those questions that were keeping me up at night. Now I know what I need to do. So it tasted like strawberries.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, and you can book your free starter session on this podcast website.
Okay, Dave. Say, and they haven't missed a thing.
Let's pick up our story where we left off, and trust me, you haven't missed a thing.
Okay. I have an embarrassing story about, it wasn't actually Sour Patch Kids, but it was sour. It was those gummy worms that were sour with the coating on them.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those? I mean, they're still around too.
I forget who made those.
So do you want to hear this dumb?
Let's hear the story.
I'm a single guy in my 20s in Western Nebraska, running a radio station in a little tiny town, and I decide that my town didn't have anything going on the 4th of July, which is the big, you know, American summer holiday. So I decide that we're going to have a parade. And we're just going to have it in the little city park where the radio station is. And I'm going to be the grand marshal of this parade, since it was my idea.
Okay.
And because I'm just I'm a smart ass 20 something guy.
Yeah.
And so I decide, you know, everybody throws candy at parades. Little kids come out and grab it. And so I just said, look, if you want to be in the parade, be in the parade, come to the parking lot where we're going to start. And we're just going to drive around the park one time or walk. Going to walk around. So I take this leather mail bag that I have that I usually go to the post office to pick up the mail in. I filled it with whatever kind of we had at hand. And there was a big bag of gummy worms laying around that, you know, the ones that are just in a bag, that's no wrapper. And then I had some unpopped popcorn and I had a big bag of golf tees. And so I just put it all, not candy, golf tees. I put it all in this bag and mixed it up. Right. And I'm walking through this parade, throwing out fistfuls of golf tees, unpopped popcorn and gummy candy into the dirt. Right. They're not wrapped. And it was highly entertaining for me because kids would pick up a golf tee and they just look at it. They didn't know what it was. And one kid picked up like some kernels of popcorn and looked up at their mom like, it's corn. And then other kids are picking up the worms and their moms are batting them out of their hands as fast as they can pick them up, right? Because they're covered in dirt.
Right.
And
right. Well, because dirt would stick to like, that gummy.
Like a champ. It's not coming off till you get it in your mouth. And so I'm somewhat embarrassed, but I'm also kind of proud of this. So one of the women with small children in the crowd, these two little girls at that point, ages 4 and like 1.5, and it's her first day in this town, right? She had just arrived that day and came to this parade with these two little girls. And
Welcome to town.
And fortunately for me, she didn't remember that I was the one that did it, because when I actually met her 6 months later, we ended up getting married. And I ended up adopting those two little girls that I was throwing candy to in my own parade.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So that was Julie and our two oldest daughters.
I didn't realize that you would adopt that you would. I didn't realize your two
the older
daughters
two.
Were adopted.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
And then we had two more.
Yeah,
and
I had
the
no
other,
idea.
The younger two were like, oh, what? They saw that when we adopted the older two, or when I did, they were like, well, why won't you adopt me? And I'm like, well, because I don't have to. Yeah, but why? But why won't you? So that's still an ongoing argument. But that's my gummy story. I became a hated person, but then it all worked out in the end.
Yeah. Well, while you're doing that, I just quickly looked up the invention of the gummy worm is attributed to a German company called Trolli, but the sour worms are Hammond's.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. At any point, the tradition of golf tees, popcorn, and gummy worms never caught on. I think I'm the only one to ever do that.
Well, so if we ever see it done again, if anybody ever sees a parade where somebody is throwing gummy worms, unpop popcorn, and golf tees out, please let us know so that Dave
exactly.
can collect
his
royalties.
And
also let Dave know that he has an unknown
somewhere
out there somewhere in the world.
All right. Thanks for listening to my TED Talk. I feel like having some I may just go dissolve a vitamin C in my mouth just to get that visceral sour feeling because that this episode has created in me, Stephen.
And the thing, and it is interesting how just these weird things come together, and we've now heard the origin story. And what town was that in again? Because where in Nebraska was that?
I'm not allowed to say from the Witness Protection Program. No. It was a little town called Sidney, Nebraska. Yeah.
Sidney, can we even find it on a map?
Oh, it's on the map. You know what put it on the map? It's actually a company that would probably be worth talking about in Empire Builders one day, and that's Cabela's.
And we've talked about doing Cabela's. So we absolutely need
to. It was the hometown of Cabela's. They're still around as a brand, but they're part of Bass Pro Shop now. But
yeah, Cabela's is a really fascinating, and I'm sure there's lots of things you have to share on it, given that history. So let's absolutely
okay.
do Cabela's.
Another time.
All right.
Thank you, Steven.
Thanks, David.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please share us, subscribe on your favorite podcast app, and leave us a big, fat, juicy 5-star rating and review at Apple Podcasts. And if you'd like to schedule your own 90-minute empire-building session, you can do it at empirebuildingprogram.com.